I'm David Pitt, and this is a People Speak Up podcast. The People Speak Up Men in Conversation group at Pembrey Mountain Viewpoint in December 2022.
Is that a viewing point? There's a viewing point there as well.
I won't surprise you if there's any hairs in you as well. Because hairs, as you know, don't burrow like rabbits. But they do live in a lot of fern and all sort of stuff like this. I wouldn't be surprised if there's hairs here.
I haven't seen a hair for years.
In Sweden, hairs are all over the place.
Neither's Carla.
I've never seen a hair in Wales, ever.
You know,
I have,
especially around Sunnybridge.
There used to be hairs on... is it Castle Martin down in Pembrokeshire?
Yeah, there would have been. Lots of rabbits.
That's beautiful, that, isn't
it? You might see them on the road in the middle of a field or something.
Gorgeous, really.
Hares are quite shy animals as well. They keep out of the way.
And they tend not to sort of socialise, you know, they tend to sort of move on their own, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, when did I see a hare last? I think I seen a hare last in the Tumble Country, in Country Park there. I think I seen a hare last.
I see the mist better now.
They live in gorse as well and stuff like that.
There used to be a lot of them in the Sunnybridge Range, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot of them on old army land, MOD land.
Oh, problem is they're very skittish, aren't they? So the minute the bullets start flying, they're gone for it.
They're like airfields as well.
Well, they might still be on Castle Mountain, mightn't they? But you wouldn't know.
So they can see around where everything is, you know?
I used to see them on a regular basis up in Yorkshire.
Yeah. We had a guy but otherwise you can't go near it.
Yeah. I used to go bird watching down to Angle quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I've done bird watching for such a long time, I miss it as well.
Yeah. And then what do we see in the distance, Dave? What were you talking about?
What?
Wind buddy. Or at least a single wheelman look.
What, the wind turbine?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's three little ones by the sides of it as well.
Yeah, they're private ones, aren't they?
Yeah. I'm not quite sure. That's not the one by the... No, that's further over. But you know the Camaldra tip, we've got one.
Yeah, they have.
I think that's just further over there.
But them two are private ones because you never have singles there.
No.
If it's,
You wait 200 years and then three come along at once.
Yeah. And the other one that annoys me is the line of destruction. So we're stood up at the Pembrey Mountain viewing point and we're looking at the mist.
We're looking north.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a view before the fog.
There is, yeah. So it's a lovely view of the race course and then...
And a line of...
Line of power pylons. Lines, which is always nice. The destruction of our planet, pylon by pylon.
We're actually still in the Gwendraith Valley, because the Gwendraith Valley, sort of, the end of the Gwendraith Valley, they say, is Kidwelly, but I don't believe that. The end of the Gwendraith Valley is when you come into Burryport. I think up here, throughout the year, you'll see what transformations go on through the valley itself. I mean, many, many years ago, all this valley was just covered in black coal. It was open cast in Pontyberyn and Pontyets. And then at the top of Pontyets over here, you had Cnidre deep mine coal industry there. And then you had the little Gwendraith railway bringing all the coal from all the valley here down to Cwmor, which was the washery where they washed all the coal, and then send that back down the line down to Pembrey Harbour, not Burryport Harbour, to then for it to be exported across the world. Where the race course is down there, Forslas was the open cast. Okay. So they took the top layer of coal off, and then down to the clay, and then put clean soil back in. But all that site was poisonous, so they had to get all the soil out and wash it, and then, and that's what they did over here.
Oh, I see.
But the line used to run all the way down here, where you see Trimsharan's, all the houses there. Yeah. The line used to run at the back of that. Yeah. Used to come from the top here all the way down, and then down to Pembrey Harbour.
What Carl was just speaking about, because he's able to bring that knowledge to this landscape.
Yeah.
And I was really struck how that's an industrial landscape. But there's that Norman church up there.
Yeah.
And so that landscape, although that coal was lying beneath the surface, it would not have revealed itself particularly when they built that church. But before I saw any of that, I think I was just struck by how this landscape has been completely made by people. What we're looking at, it's almost impossible to imagine it without that. Other than maybe it would have just been like these trees down here, the whole lot. A little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing, but I remember hearing the whole country was covered in churches and trees.
Is this an alluvial plain, you know, that would be like a river that would wend back and forth through it over the ages, leaving this, what, presumably fertile soil down there.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe we see the rivers, the ribbons of houses on the roads now for the working people, for the mines. And I'm always struck when you go into the valleys, you know, that mostly they just seem to be one road. Really well populated, but it's just on the road. And maybe if we had come here thousands of years ago, they would have been on the rivers.
Thousands of years ago, this would be totally relying on the sea for everything, fish and creations and stuff like that, you know, cockles, mussels. And the church up there, I remember, is St. Ishmael's. I remember this valley being full of snow back in 1981. 82.
That's when Newtown had the six or seven feet of snow.
Yeah.
I remember that well, that year. I was 4 years old and our dad was taking us round on a sledge with the dog pulling it. I was 4 and my brother was 6 months old, and we got pictures of us on a sledge with our dog pulling us through, and literally you can't see the dog half the time because it's literally 6 foot snow. My dad actually climbed out of our bedroom window, slid down the snow and dug his way back into the house because there was that much snow. It was amazing. Newtown was cut off for 12 days, nothing in or out. So we had to trudge up to a farm about half a mile up the hill to go and get eggs and milk and things off him.
Today we have the element of cold from the air, and it's so cold, it's not December weather at all, it's more like January, it's more like the new year, because it is biting cold.
It's below freezing, isn't it?
And this north air is coming from the north, it's coming from the polar regions, that's why it's so cold. And it's really taking us all unawares in our pre-Christmas frenzy.
For all that the warmth of that sun on our backs.
Yeah.
It's kind of, even though it's tiny, it's just so welcome and a reminder of what's coming. Yeah. But I wanted to ask, I was just thinking about the element. And they were talking about water. And I was thinking, is air and the wind like the water cycle? So we were talking about, you know, stripping away the present and looking at this landscape deeply into the past. And is there a way of thinking of this wind is actually recycled? So that element hasn't changed. I mean, the element hasn't changed itself.
No.
But, you know, like the water cycle, it picks up the water in the ocean, doesn't it? It rains and it's a constant thing. And I wondered if you could think of the winds in the same way. Yeah, where does it go when it's not here?
Where does it go when it's not here? We want to know immediately.
Where does the wind go? Okay.
It's a very busy wind out there. It just keeps going.
I'm always fascinated by the jet stream. You know, the jet stream dictates the weather, doesn't it?
We're having a nice conversation about it.
Kind of runs our lives, really, in a way.
But the jet stream is no longer predictable. We can't predict this is going to happen because of the jet stream. The jet stream is affected in the same way everything else is, and it's changing. and it's become unpredictable.
Linked up, aren't they, really?
And we're far north, the same as many other countries that have this Arctic weather that we don't get because we're on the edge of the Atlantic, warming us up from the jet stream. Mm. So we don't want the jet stream messed about with.
No.
So I think that's how the Earth's going to reset itself, mate, when we destroy it enough, which we're getting there.
You see in the film Don't Look Up? It's about an asteroid that's going to collide with the Earth.
Oh.
And they know it's coming, and these two scientists find that it's coming, and they try to tell people.
Oh, no!
The president is a comedy, you see. But they just get on I can't think what they call them. You know, like Graham Norton, chat show. That's the one. So they're on chat show, trying to tell them, and the hosts are just kind of making jokes and laughing.
It's the end of the world.
And nobody. So it's like, don't look up. Nobody. Nobody wants to know.
I tell you what's a true film. When it comes to Extinction, horrific film in a way. Have you seen that film, Children of Men?
Yes.
That's more reality, because the human population is depleting because men can't produce enough sperm to have babies, and I think that's the way we are.
That's the way
we're going.
I'm going to stop you there, Carl. You said... He said, men can't produce enough sperm to have babies. I don't want to disabuse you, but men have never been able to produce babies.
You know what I mean.
Yeah, those storks are so busy.
They are.
You know, there was a study done recently where the top 20% of men are having 90% of the kids because they're the, you know, A class A studs or whatever you want to call them. You know. I don't know. Honestly, there was a thing.
That's me knackered then.
You know, they reckon there's.
I was thinking that would be a good name for the new name for the group.
Yeah, the class A studs.
We might have to choose a different letter.
More young virgin men now in their 20s and 30s than there's ever been, because women are much more picky now and they're choosing. You know. Women. The so-called lookers.
No, they're picking the big wigs.
You know, the money, the suits, the image rather than the person, you know. Which is,
has that got something to do with social media then?
Yeah, of course it has. It's a huge thing about social media, isn't it? You know, and all the apps and stuff now as well, you know. The study was done with a lot of the dating apps.
Right.
And about the swipes and things. And yeah, and it was done by a university in California, and they were saying that only 10 or 15% of men actually get multiple swipes, you know, whereas 90% of men don't get any, you know, multiple dates. And it's usually the men that are complete and utter arseholes, isn't it, you know?
And here we have our explanation for our dire state of affairs.
Yeah, not enough swipes. What counts as a swipe?
A literal swipe on your phone, mate, is a swipe, isn't it?
I see.
Because a lot of these dating apps, they just literally swipe left to say no, and swipe right to say yes, and that's literally how a lot of them work.
Yeah.
And that's the insanity of the newer generations, isn't it? Mm. You know, and the thing is, boys can't speak to girls. Like, you know, back in our day, you wanted to go speak to a girl or something, you went up and spoke to her. Now it's all texts and this.
Hang on
and...
a minute. Is it? Okay. You must have been special because you went up to a girl and you went.
I went up and did a Joey, right? It was the height of my youth. That was the 90s. Are you doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean, though? You know, back if you wanted to ask a girl to a dance or something, you went and asked her, or you wrote her a letter, or whatever. Now it's like they send messages and they do.
When you wanted to dance with a girl in Wales, you had to buy a lager on night.
Yeah.
It's like this guy goes to the doctor and he goes, doctor, I can't perform. Why is that then? I've got a small one. Let's have a look then. God, you have a small one, don't you? Well, can you give me any ideas how to make it bigger? He said, what do you drink? Lager. Guinness. Put yourself on Guinness. Drink Guinness every week and come back to me about 2 weeks later, see how you're going. Any difference? Not yet, he said. Come back in another 2 weeks and tell me if it works. Yeah, okay. Is it working? Fantastic. The Guinness working? No, he said. What did you do? I put the wife on lager.
Well, we seem to have found our element, don't we?
Well, it's a many conversation. It has to go with us.
It started off really well. Yeah. Oh, look at that landscape.
I think you started just giving
state, of the, state of the world. And now we're dick jokes.
But mind you, saying that, this Farley, I'm changing the subject here now, in a good way.
He's getting serious, boys. He's getting serious.
He's going back into tour guide
mode. Take a deep breath.
Yeah. Okay,
it's all yours.
How green was it?
How green? I remember, right, when I was growing up, a lot of men used to go poaching here as well, because there would be plenty of rabbits, pheasants. And even in some of these valleys, there was deer roaming around as well, believe it or not. And we used to go poaching, because in the 60s, I mean, to go and buy a piece of beef from a shop, you know, it's like, no, you couldn't really afford it. So we used to go poaching quite a lot. And then also in the rivers, we used to do a lot of tickling, you know, catching. I think the Gwendraith did have there was no salmon coming up the river, but I think it was we call sewin rainbow sea trout. And that, we used to do a lot of that in the valleys. A lot of people used to do a lot of poaching. Heck, even the authorities, that the guy who should try to catch you, he was doing it. You know.
I love it.
He used to say to me, don't come here now 8 o'clock tonight, because I'll be here. And I'll have to show up and show my, and flex my muscles. So after, say about 9 o'clock, I'll be gone.
I'll tell you when, just come along
and do a bit of poaching, no problem.
I thought tickling was after the disco though.
Oh no!
It's nosedived again.
Good try.
Yeah. I know you're freezing, aren't you?
I'm just getting there, but I see you're really cold. So. There's no joy in that, is it?
Well, you know, there's only so much you can do standing around.
Yeah. Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
After you, gentlemen.
Hi there,
right. How do you do?
Have you seen any hares here at all over the last couple of years?
No.
Thank you. What you have today?
Yeah, you got it?
It's a men's group.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. We've been doing some sound recording and just recording conversations.
Good spot for it. Whitford Lighthouse is my favourite place.
Oh, where's that?
Where's that?
You know Llangawa?
Yes.
Llanmadog?
I know Llanmadog, yes.
Going down there, down to the beach and to the lighthouse.
Whitford
Lighthouse. So I loved when there's hardly anyone there,
the one,
you know.
You have to go out at low tide, otherwise
that's
you're trapped,
yeah.
We got stuck there one year.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
We had to go in the old World War II bunker, stay in there, and it was not good.
No, that's not a good experience.
I quite enjoyed it, to be fair.
Memorable.
Like. Yeah, definitely memorable. Me and my brother, we were stuck out there for... Thank you.
So I'm going to photograph it. What's your name?
Stephen.
Stephen, thank you, Stephen. Thank you.
Just like that?
Yeah, just like that.
Looking noble.
Just like that.
Right, do you want to check?
Yeah, I'll have a look now.
If you're in Slethy at one time, come and join the group. I'm from Slethy.
Do you know the old Zion Chapel?
Yes.
We're in there.
Yeah. I live not far from there, in Llanach.
We're a charity called People Speak Up.
Yeah. Oh, I've heard of you.
Yeah, there you go.
Yes. I've heard of you. Yeah. I've been on... What type of thing do you do, just as a men's group?
We do a lot of... I mean, we've done a lot of creative things as well, you know.
Right.
Yeah. If you want a cup of tea, a cup of coffee, it's all there.
This is my initiation ceremony. They take me up here,
freeze
the arse off me.
It's kind of the beginning of a new bit of the project.
So the idea is that
each one of us will take the group out somewhere, and we're supposed to be responding to the elements.
Yes.
And what we see, you know, and just whatever we feel from that. So Chris has brought us here.
That sounds brilliant.
And
I've missed not going out. I used to be in Mind.
Oh, I know.
That's about like, I don't know, 3 years ago. Yeah. And I've just been sort of just going out to nature to manage.
Come.
You know, come I think health things, you know.
Although Mind's a very good charity, you get to a point where you think, I'm recovering now, so I don't need, I need to go now and do something completely different. Although my channel is brilliant, but you get to a point where you're on recovery and you just want to go and do your own thing.
I've been doing my thing for like, the trouble is I had a close friend and we've sort of like gone different ways. You know, complicated. But so we've done everything for like 2 years. It's great stuff, you know, going all over the place, you know, taking photography I've been using, and nature and stuff.
Yeah.
But now we're sort of like not together. Right. I'm sort of stuck on my own a bit.
So twice
a week I go out for a long walk. As much as I can, and I love this weather, you know. But I haven't got company, as it
were.
But at the same time, I don't want to impose.
No.
You know what I mean?
There's different groups there as well. And they've got a drop in about 3 days a week.
I did something. What did I do? I did a walking thing there.
Story walks. Yeah, the story walks. Last year we did story walks.
Around town.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, if you get a chance, come and have a look. Any day, if it's open, just pop in and grab some leaflets and that and see what we do. We do lots of different things.
There's soup occasionally now, isn't there?
We've got a drop in now. We're seeing 3 days a week as well.
Because it's the whole place is like a well-being hub now.
That's probably the easiest way to do it because we haven't set the next date for men, have we? So pop
when,
in.
When I went in there, because the last time I'd been there, my mother took me as a small boy to a Gymanfa Ganu.
Yes.
You know, all the singing, Welsh singing and stuff. And I was really impressed how they'd incorporated both, you know, the into a modern functional building as well.
You're on the internet, aren't you?
Yes.
So just look at People Speak Up and it'll be on there.
Everything's on the website.
Everything's on the website.
Yeah, come and see us
anytime
you want.
I might do that.
I'm always there.
Every
day.
This is healthy anyway.
I'm actually sound recording.
That's
I'm going to put it in the podcast. You're happy?
I'm totally happy.
Yeah, okay.
Totally happy.
Brilliant.
Brilliant stuff.
Thanks, nice to meet you.
Take care. Good to see you again.
Take care. Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Don't forget them, man.
Thank you very much.
They're important.
Yeah.
You like that?